Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins.
Well, it's another week, another day, another everything, right? And we're back with another episode of the Realm of Heroes and Monsters Storytime with me, your host, dork and nerd, writer and artist, A.P. Fuchs, and proud Canadian. Now, here we are, basically halfway through the season, a little bit more than that, actually. About half. And things have gone so well. We found our voice, we found our groove, and that's a good thing. And we have another half of the season to go. And then once all this is said and done, I'm going to do what I'm going to be doing with Magic Man, and I'm going to be taking Flash Attack and turning it into an enhanced audiobook. So that's something you're going to want to hang on to for information for later. But anyway, let's get on with the show, right? So what we do first is we have the, story before the story. So let's do that one, and then we'll get into story time. So, for this one, story before the story comes with a major disclaimer, and that is, don't do this, okay? That's the disclaimer. This is bad behavior. This is wrong. You don't treat people this way. None of it, okay? But we do know, because we're talking about, remember, fiction is everywhere. Stories are everywhere. So, we do know we all have at least one person in our life somewhere in our circle or extended circle or even extended circle where we know somebody is just a flat-out liar. They lie about virtually everything. And you know this because you know behind-the-scenes info, and you know whatever they're putting forward in public is a complete BS, and whatever they're really doing is being hidden. So we have these people walking around in our lives, feeding us crap day in and day out, and they could do it so convincingly that you'll take it as truth. So what's happening, in short, is you are interacting with a complete piece of fiction. There's so much lying going on that everything's fabricated. There's nothing that you could pin down as being actually true other than maybe what you see with your own eyes. You know, it's a guy or it's a girl and they have brown hair or red hair or whatever. As much as you know about them, character description. But in terms of like who they are or anything like that, you'll never find out because their entire life is a lie and that's what they put out in the public for whatever reason, usually personal gain, but not always. But yeah, that's what they do. And the sad part is sometimes these people who think this way and who act this way, they believe the lie. They become the lie. It's truth to them, right? You believe something long enough, eventually becomes true. And then until you're countered with, you know, some other argument, you're just going to continue believing it's true. You know, and this kind of also falls into the false memory thing, right? You believe it happened, but it didn't really happen. But anyway, yeah. So we got fictitious people walking around who are completely fiction. In other story before the stories, we talked about sort of the partial fiction that people can be. In this case, we're talking about people who are 100% fiction. And that's kind of scary, you know. But at the same time, perhaps it's a good idea maybe not to know who they really are. Maybe the lie is a good thing, like in the context of, let's just do a Clark Kent Superman thing, right? He's basically lying to everybody every day. But with good reason, Batman, Bruce Wayne, same idea. So maybe there's some sort of something there in that respect. But at the same time, too, there's also danger, right? Because if you believe this 100% fictitious person, the real person behind it who's telling that story, that BS story, they could be somebody very terrible, you know, like Jigsaw, for example. And you could be in hot water because it has happened, right? Like you read those news stories, you know, guy or woman, you know, offs their family, then offs themselves, and then everybody in the neighborhood says what? They say the same thing. Well, they're the nicest person. We never knew. How could we know? They always are friendly. They always are smiling, blah, blah, blah. And again, that was their lie. That was their cover-up. That was their disguise. And lo and behold, look at what happened. So anyway, that's basically the story before the story. We want to talk about people who are just 100% fiction. And you, as a listener, and also probably a reader, right, you could recognize characters. There's certain tropes people play to. So maybe next time you meet somebody new, pay attention and see if you could discern if they're being them, or even just partially them, or if they're just being something completely out there. All right, now let's get into story time. Paraphrase. Ronald was born 3 weeks premature to David and Eleanor Queensveld, and though those 3 weeks were still in the premature safe zone, the jaundice caused complications, and for 2 days David and Eleanor thought they would lose the baby. Ronald pulled through, but refused to breastfeed, so Eleanor resorted to bottles. At 4 years old, Ronald climbed onto the stove just after the burners had been turned off and burnt his palms and knees. He was taken to the hospital and treated. At 6, the family moved to Flin Flon, and Ronald spent the next 6 years climbing the town's rocky hills almost daily. An introvert in grade school, he made only one friend, Graham, who would later commit suicide in his mid-20s. In grade 7, Ronald got into his first and only fist fight and lost, but not before going down giving the other guy a broken nose. At Sweet 16, Ronald fell in love with Beth Green, but didn't tell her how he felt until graduation. It turned out she had a crush on him too, and the two dated until they were 21. Beth died in a car accident while driving back to her parents' place after a late shift at the local grocery store. Ronald started drinking to numb the pain and doubled his daily bottle usage after his father died shortly after from a heart attack. A year later, his mother died of a broken heart. Samantha came along when Ronald was 31 and they were married 6 months later. One night, she told him to choose between the bottle and her. He chose her, namely because she was barren and he knew he was all she had in terms of family. Working at the local mine provided for them throughout the years, Samantha ended up being a part-time cashier at the same store Beth once worked. Ronald only went inside the store twice during Samantha's tenure, each visit laden with haunting images of Beth's final shift and the final fate that awaited her. Samantha quit the store at 47. Ronald retired 11 years later at 58. He enjoyed being the same age as his wife. Reminded him of Beth. At 64, Samantha fell victim to Alzheimer's, and soon Ronald became no more than a stranger. She died at 70. When he was 78, Ronald finally moved out of the house he and Samantha shared all those years to an apartment uptown. When he turned 80, he decided he'd had enough of the loneliness and loss, and so downed a bottle of Advil and a bottle of gin. Miraculously, he survived. After a shouting match with God about why he let him live, Ronald decided to finish his life, however much longer he had. 4 days after turning 83, Ronald died in his recliner watching the evening news. He had simply grown sleepy, eyes closed, and finally left this world, his wish granted. Welcome to After the Credits. I'm going to try to keep this brief because it's obviously going to be a giant topic and I can't get into every single detail, of course. But very simply, let's talk about time. I've always been fascinated with time, so I started doing some research into it just to see what, like, those who are studied in those fields, you know, whether it's math or physics or quantum physics or, you know, all that kind of stuff that involves some factor of time, all these people and all this stuff that they have to say about it. And In the end, when I came away from sort of my general overview of research, the conclusion was we don't know anything. We have ideas, we have theories, we have stuff we could back up with some numbers and some data and that kind of stuff. But in terms of like anything pinned down concrete, this is how time works, no, we don't have that. So for those of us out there who are wishing for time machines, Well, you kind of need to know what you're going to manipulate prior to manipulating it, right? So in this case, we don't even understand time yet. So we have no way of even navigating it, never mind anything else, right? So let's figure that one out first. Let's figure out what it is. And then if we could ever do that, then at that point, perhaps navigation of it might become that much easier. So for all you sci-fi fans, there's some hope coming up. All right. Stay tuned for next week's episode because it's gonna be fun. See you then.